This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Okay. Good afternoon to all of you. I would like to start by saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house of God here in HICF, and also in the houses of God across the globe. Happy Father's Day to all of you. And Happy Father's Day to the fathers of all the children that are here under our spiritual care in HICF. Also, Happy Father's Day to all the God-made natural fathers in the world. Yeah, during these occasions, it's always a difficult one because you want to see how you navigate, how to strike the balance of celebration for the fact that there are some that on this day of celebration will bring memories of their fathers that have passed away. Others will bring bad memories because of the bad experiences in the hands of their fathers. Some have not seen their fathers. But again, it will be unfair to refuse to celebrate, especially with those that have fathers and good fathers. That is one of the challenges in life. We must learn to come to the truth of it and accord it its proper place. As the Word of God says, there is time for everything under the sun. So, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Going forward, I want to say thank you to all here at HICF and our beloved HICF members across the globe for sending in your greetings to me, your tributes of Happy Father's Day. If all the good things you showered on me are true, let me be very clear here. I owe them all to Him, the Father of us all, and to you, sons and daughters in the house who stood by me and with me in the good and bad times. I pray as well that the good things you said about me that are not true, I consider it as your inner heart prayer, your honest desire for me to be those things you have said. And I will continue to struggle to be by His mercies and grace for His glory. Amen. Yes, it's a privilege to be a father. I did not choose to be a man in the first place, and none out there choose. It is not by my wits or anything that I am blessed with three wonderful children in my family, JC, Jessica, and big boy Jojo. By one mother, my beautiful wife, my friend, co-laborer, my punching partner, my trainer, my support, Pastor Ann Dickey. Girl, I want to tell you I love you. I really do. Thank God for you in my life. It is by His grace, His mercies, He also gave me children in the house. I'm talking about spiritual children. I want to tell each of you, you are such a blessing. You are part of my journey through this land. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen and amen. Memorials, celebrations are good, but more importantly for us at HICF, we go deeper than the mere rituals and liturgies of memorial and celebrations. In such occasions, we remind ourselves of the essence, the reality, and the application of such memorial or celebrations in our lives. Because the Word of God says, in everything you do, do all to the glory of God. I pray as we celebrate Father's Day today, fathers will be reminded and encouraged to be faithful in fulfilling their fatherly roles in their homes as biological fathers, and in the church and in the community as spiritual and morally right fathers. I pray that the hearts of children will be turned to their parents and hearts of parents to be turned to their children today and always. Finally, I pray that we all turn and look up and be thankful to our Father above, Abba Father of all, the Lord God Almighty. Give Him praise. He deserves it today and always, for every day is God's day. Amen and amen. Before we go on to our theme today, a quick recap of the John chapter 3 verse 16 series that we have started about 2 or 3 weeks. Part 1 of that series is kind of like we are unpacking John 3:16. So part 1 of the John 3:16 series is, do you know John 3:16? Because I consider John 3:16 is prerequisite, knowing it is prerequisite to gradual understanding it. Knowing and believing in God is the bedrock of our faith in God, without which it is impossible to please God. Part 2, we had this theme, which was a question, and very important and central critical question in our lives. Who is God? Who is God? And we know that the answer there is in this phrase, I am that I am. That is His name. I am that I am. No any other. I do not change. He is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This distinction must be made clear. He is not any other God. If you remember the main points of that part 2 of who is God, number 1 was, if you don't know who is God, you will not know where He is. And my dear friend, if you can't find God, you have no life. For it is only those who find Him that find life. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35 says, for those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. It is important you know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you cannot find. And here, spiritually, if you don't know God, you cannot find Him. And if you don't find Him, means you have no life. Other sub-questions that we asked in that part 2 is, do you know what you are looking for currently? What are you searching for now in your life? And then similar question but different is, do you know what you should be looking for? Probably currently you are looking for something, but that is not what you should be looking for now. And then the third question, do you know where you should be looking at in order to find what you are looking for? Because you may know what you're looking for, but you don't know where to look for it. And then finally we capped it with this: things you will do and not do because you know God. By the time you know God, there are things that you will never do, and there are things you will do. For example, some of those things that we mentioned, we had a long list, but I just want to pick a few ones to remind us and refresh our memory. That if you know who God is, you will have consulted with Him before taking that decision. If you know who God is, you will know you shouldn't have been in that situation. But again, if you know who God is, you will know that you are able to get out of that situation, out of that mess. It's important. So probably you don't know who He is, you got into that mess, but if you know who He is in that mess, if you cry out to Him, you will know how to cry out to Him, and He say He will answer you. Other ones include, if you know who God is, you will know you are disobeying, hurting Him. If you know your God, at each time, at any time, when you disobey, you know you are hurting somebody if you know Him. Many of us don't know who God is, and therefore we don't care how He feels about. We thought He is just a vending machine. We thought He's just Father Christmas. And two last important points, very important. That if you know who God is, you will stop bothering God with every little thing that happens to you. You will be able to stand and fight. And God will be proud of you. It's not every time something happens to you, you are running back to God. Yes, He's our refuge. He's our fortress. In the days of trouble, He said, cry to me. But I believe God, like a father, He wants to see His children stand and take care of issues in His name. And that's why the power and authority is given. He sent His disciples with this authority. And today, God wants to take pride in us if we can stand instead of always running back to Him. Father, help me. Parents, natural parents, will want to see their children grown up and face situations out. The last one, you will stop lying against the devil. You will stop blaming the devil. If you know God, if you know who God is, you will stop lying against the devil. You will stop blaming the devil. You will stop blaming other people. You will learn to take your responsibilities. The devil is there to do his job to tempt you. But God has measured every temptation that He allows to come to you. He has given you the grace and ability. As I've said last week, if the enemy has an opportunity, the devil, he will have sued some of us. Because each thing that happened, we say it is him. While it is clear that we are drawn by our own desires of our carnal minds. Of course, he is there to tempt you. But that's his business. Your business is to resist him, and he has to leave. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. So remember, who is God? He is the I am that I am. He's the only true God. Whatever he promises, he never fails. No one can ever stop him from doing what he wants to do. He never fails. Nothing is impossible with him. He is present everywhere, at all times, all knowing, all loving. And those that he has given eternal life, no one has the power to snatch them out of his hands. They will never perish. These are encouraging words from our Abba Father. And we need such encouragement that will give us hope in the times that we are in. Hallelujah. Alright, that is enough of the recap. Well, let me just say something to those of you listening to this audio. Because of the various wonderful ministration we had today for the celebration of the Father's Day, the sermon will be very brief today, and next we will continue. We will only touch on one or two points as each time allows. The theme of part 3 for today from the Unpacking of John 3:16 series is, what is love? It is not by coincidence that today we're dealing with this topic. I prayed about it, I've set on it. What is love? I believe this question will resonate on many pulpits today. What is love? What is love? Well, I don't know if there is anyone listening to this audio that will say he or she is not familiar with the word love, or someone claiming innocency about this word. In fact, the problem the world is dealing with is the abuse of this word, love, mainly because of our understanding of what is love. What is love to you personally? This thing called love, what does it mean? This thing called love, many die because of it, many kill, many commit suicide, many live because of it, many have no peace because of it. Therefore, it's central that we understand, what is this thing called love? What do people say what is love? What does the world system say love is? What does your culture, tradition, denomination say what is love? What does your belief, your faith say love is? What did God say love is? What does the devil say love is? Also, he has his own definition of what love. Even though he has no love, but you know how many times he has deceived you with what he say is love, only to find out it is not love. What does science say love is? Well, this is the definition of love by an unknown author. He says, love is the feeling you feel when you feel you are feeling a feeling you feel you never felt before. Wow, quite poetic. Listen again. Love is the feeling you feel when you feel you are feeling a feeling you feel you have never felt before. It is interesting. Is that all about love, feeling? As we shall see shortly, we will see that yes, there are things, some kind of biochemical reaction in your brain, and there are pleasure and rewarding centers in your brain that can trigger feelings. Is that all about love? Probably that could be the part of our problem in our relationships today. Broken homes, broken relationship. Because once you don't feel it, love is gone. Let's pack it up. Let's leave. There is no love once the feeling is not there. Is that? From the National Geography magazine in the edition of February 2006, the front cover captioned love, the chemical reaction. In it, it's reported that scientists have discovered a cocktail of brain chemical reaction that sparks romance and those that foster long-term attachment. Anthropologists in the likes of Helen Fisher of the Rutgers University in New York, the USA, devoted much of her career to the study of the biochemical pathways of love in all its manifestations, be it lust, romance, attachment. She looked at the way they wax and wane by using MRI machine to literally look at love. Well, there are two neurotransmitters, the dopamine and also serotonin, are the star neurotransmitters involved in love. So, are these things in charge of controlling what love is? Interestingly, there are findings they found that love and obsessive compulsive disorder could have a similar chemical pathway. What is the translation of that? Is that love and mental illness may be difficult to tell apart. That is serious. So sometimes somebody is telling you he loves you, you don't know that he is undergoing this obsessive compulsive disorder. You have to be very careful. So are we left at the mercy of neurotransmitters in our brain? Or can we, even when we don't feel like love, we can have drugs, medicine that can trigger the secretion of these neurotransmitters to correct the imbalance? They also found that selecting a life partner based on something so fleeting is folly, is foolishness. So is love control? Are we at the mercy of these neurotransmitters in our brains? Is love about triggering some biochemical reaction in brain? Think about it. What is love? What is love? Well, we just read the definition of love by an unknown author. Let us look at what is love from a known author, the author and maker of all things, God Almighty. Love. What is love in the context of John 3:16? Well, you may not agree with me, but from my knowledge and faith in the Word of God, I see all the brokenness of the system of this world is due to lack of this four-letter word, love, L-O-V-E. Look at all the dictatorial regimes, failed systems, corruption, inequality, hatred, racism, murder, suicide, war, terrorism, sexual orientation perversion, rape, sex trade or sex trafficking, and child molestation, selfishness, idolatry, worldliness, calamities, disease, famine, poverty, natural disasters, man-made disasters, and much more are all due to lack of this four-letter word, love. Why do I say so? Because before the fall, there were no such problem. But after the fall, we have all these domino effects. When God was with them, nothing happened. But when God was out of their life, when they fell, they ran away from Him, everything became corrupted. That corruption involves the brokenness of the laws that governs the earth. You have wicked hurricanes, typhoons, flooding, earthquakes. The laws that govern them are broken, are corrupted. And once a system is broken, some may work and some may not work. When man was together with the wild beast, staying together, now man and wild beast became hostile to each other. The mountain and the seas can't keep still at their place. We are hostile to God, knowingly or unknowingly, hostile to one another. Adam that saw his wife for the first time when he rose from that surgery, he said, "This is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh." But now he turned after the fall, he's blaming Eve, or rather even blaming God, saying, "That woman that you gave me." We saw Cain killing Abel. Now we're seeing things wrong becoming right for man. All these things happened when man moved out of relationship with God. We will come to understand how this sin has been affecting man because we moved away from God. I want to ask you, have you ever been in a situation that you have come to understand or believe that if you only can get one thing fixed, all other things will just automatically fall in place? Have you been in that situation that you say, if only I can get this, everything will be okay? Now, just imagine this, and it is true. When God looked from above, He came to one conclusion that one thing There is just one thing that matters. If you could only get one thing in place in the world, all other things will be fixed. What was that one thing? Love. Love. That was it. That was revealed in John 3:16. That was the gift that he said he will bring. That love is not a feeling. That love is not a gold or jewelry or precious stone. That love is not just sex. It's not about sex. That love is not about fame. It is not about eliminating bad people from this world. This four-letter word holds the key answers to the problem of this world. And unless we know it in all its ramification, in all its genuity, believe it, and then understand it, we will ever continue to live in the opposite of what it stands for or mean or its meaning. What is that love? What is that love? Unless we know what it is personally, we will not have love. We will not have eternal life. Now hold it here. I said we will not have love. We will not have eternal life. Love and eternal life cannot be separated. So what is love that is so tightly held together, inherently inseparable? Biblically, in the Word of God, it's been revealed God is love and God is life. God is love, God is life. Stay with me. If God is love and He is life, and all the problem of the world is due to lack of love, then in order to solve this problem, He has to give Himself to the world, for He is love. That is how we come to John 3:16. That's how it came all about. For God so loved the world that He gave. God does not give love, but He gave Himself. He gave His Son, and Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God. In Him, everything holds together. Without Him, nothing holds. God was pleased to have everything in Him. He is God. God gave Himself. God did not give love, He gave Himself. God is love. So when man moved away from God, he moved away from the love of God, and everything was destroyed or being thrown out of control. I want to ask you this question. What will you wish or love to receive as a gift from someone who really and genuinely loves you? What will you wish or love to receive as a gift from someone who really and genuinely loves you? Will you want to receive something you already have? Will it make sense? Or you want to receive something you don't have, you can't afford, and it's important and critical to your living? Which one will you take? It doesn't make sense to receive what you already have. You would like to have that which you don't have, and more importantly, because it's critical and central to your living. So what was man lacking that is important and critical to his living that God saw? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. Do you understand that? Hold on a moment. People are walking, people are living, people are eating. What life is this that God is talking about that they don't have, that He has to give? Something is lacking. Eternal life is different from the life of eating and drinking. Eternal life is the life that cannot be destroyed. God is eternal life, so when He gave Himself, He cannot be destroyed. And that is why while Jesus Christ died, He came back to life, because He is life. That eternal life is God. That is the gift that we lacked. No any other thing. Nothing else. God saw This is the only thing that he needed to get to us. But he is the love. Therefore, he has to come down himself. And that is what the word says, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is his name. God with us. God does not give love. He gives himself entirely. That's why he says, fully man and fully God. Brothers and sisters, the main point here that I'm bringing for today, as we are about to close, maybe it's a new definition of love. Love is given and given what the recipient does not have. Love is given and given what the recipient does not have. Generally speaking, in our everyday, today life, people appreciate when you give them something they do not have. What is it that we do not have that God saw? Eternal life. And that eternal life is God. That is just John 3:16. God gave himself to man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just make one revelation here before we close. If love is given and given what the recipient does not have, then based on this principle or logical deduction, then John chapter 3 verse 16 reveals the position of God against any sexual orientation other than the heterosexuality. What I'm trying to say, God created man and woman. But John 3:16 here reveals that any other change of sex is against God than that which he created man. Any sexual orientation, man should remain a man and woman remain a woman. Let me unfold it for you a little bit. At creation, God created man. What man lacked was what? After the creation, he created, he said, everything beautiful. But then he looked at it. God was speaking in the language of man. And he said, it's not good. All right? It's the language of man. It is not good. So, God didn't think about it. It's not good. It is later that he realized, no, that's not God. God is speaking in our language that we can understand him. So, after creation, he looked and said, it's not good. Something is lacking. Are you getting me? Somebody talk to me. After God created man, man had everything but was lacking something that was what? A female. Man was not having a female. It was not the man was the, it wasn't a male that he was not having. He was a male already. It was not he was lacking a donkey. It is not as if he was lacking a dog, a horse. But that is not fit for him. He was lacking something. Any gender, let me put it this way, any gender orientation other than the creation of God is a departure of God's creation and it's a sin. Stop deceiving yourself that it's an anomaly, that you say you are feeling that kind of feeling in you like you are not a man. No, it's a corrupted nature that is giving you that. It's a sin. Remain a man and turn to God and ask forgiveness. Bisexuality is not an anomaly, it's a sin. Animals don't go after the same kind, but of opposite sex for sexual relationship. They look to find their own kind of the opposite sex to give them what they lack. What is wrong with man? What is wrong with man? That he goes to look for the same sex or look to animals. Unthinkable things. But that was the madness in Genesis that all began. The fallen angels who left their position went into the daughters of men. They took the form of man. And what did they produce when they went into the daughters of men? They produced giants. And today they are coming back. Today the devil and the fallen angels are taking another form, as the modern technology allows for them to come into men and women to produce hybrids that are not human but transhuman. It is important that you don't hate bisexuals, homosexuals, those that are caught up in this human moral dysfunction. We ought to love them. We ought to pray for them. That is true. Love them, pray for them. Don't hate them. Hallelujah. This is where we will stop for today. And by next week we will continue unveiling what is love. Remember, love is given, and given what the recipient does not have. God looked at man, and all the mess that we find ourselves, he only knew, he understood there is just one thing that is needed in man's life, eternal life, and that life is God. That is just our John 3:16. God gave man eternal life, and that eternal life is God. Emmanuel, God with us. Have you received God? If you receive him, everything will be made right. It will work out for you. Everything will fit together. This is the one thing that God says we are like him. And that is why he gave himself for us. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.